a message of Jesus Christ an opportunity to show itself that it is real in your life. Hallelujah. That would be the best thing that you have ever done. Hallelujah. Apostle G.
You have to believe the story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that by faith. Sometimes when you really look at what we believe, you be like, wow. But once you believe that thing by faith and you begin to trust in it and you begin to walk out the word, you will come to find out that really it is true. And as you were saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, the word of God, the message of Jesus Christ. So in order for faith to be birthed, in order for faith to be activated, you got to really have faith to believe the word of God, and you got to really have faith to believe in the message of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe the word, if you don't believe in the message of Jesus Christ, there is no faith, there is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no love, because you have forfeited all of that. You have to believe in your Christianity through faith. You have to believe in salvation through faith. But like I always say, once you believe in it through faith and you begin to walk it out and you begin to get battle scars and you begin to go through tests, trials, and temptations and see how each time you come out victoriously, you come out triumphantly in Christ, you will realize that, hey, I may not fully understand it, but I know this is real. Like I always say, people can say anything, they can believe anything, but they cannot take away the things that you have experienced in Christ. They cannot take away your experience in Christ, and it comes through faith. I tell you, faith, faith. A lot of times we execute faith. A lot of times we kill faith. A lot of times we stomp faith out, because the things that we speak out of our mouth, we're not speaking as though we have faith. Faith in what? The word of God. Faith in the message of Jesus Christ. Because if you got faith in God, in the word of God, and you got faith in the message of Jesus Christ, the negativity, it won't be there. It just won't be there. The negativity and the word, it cannot walk hand in hand. Either you believe God or you believe the world system. The two cannot walk hand in hand. You cannot have faith in God, but you're stressing about your bills. You cannot have faith in the message of Jesus Christ, but you're worrying about what the doctor said. The two do not mix. If you walking in faith, you have to breathe faith, you have to eat faith, you have to sleep faith. It doesn't matter what the situation, doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Faith is what it is. It's faith, Apostle.
Amen. Praise God. Isaiah asked the question in Isaiah 53. He said, who have believed our report? Who have believed it? It's got to be preached.
Yes.
It's got to be reported.
Yes.
The message of Jesus Christ has got to be spoken. I heard the woman of God speak earlier on one of the broadcasts. I believe it was Pastor Hurrah. Glory to God. That was talking about how you got to be open. You got to be ready to receive, and are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? You got to be ready. Glory to God. And it's by faith, because Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. Hallelujah. And the word being preached is good, but somebody got to believe the report of the Lord. Somebody's got to believe that he came, glory to God, hallelujah, from glory, that he came and was born of a virgin, that he came and he lived this sinless life as an example for us, that he came, glory to God, hallelujah, to die so that we might live, that he came, hallelujah, to be made a curse on the tree that we might be blessed. He came, hallelujah, to be made sin that we might be the righteousness of God. Somebody got to believe the report that he took authority over death. Come on, somebody. Somebody got to believe he went through what he went through. Hallelujah. And he was victorious and rose up on the third day with all power in heaven and in earth. Somebody's got to believe the report. Who's going to believe the report? Do you believe the report? Do you really believe this report? If you don't, then you don't have access to this grace that saves us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us we need access to this grace, the unmerited favor of God." Hallelujah. Because it has a responsibility to our life to rescue us, to save us from certain things in this world. The Bible says in verse 12 here in Titus chapter 2, it says that grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We can't, grace is here to help us by way of our faith, is here to help us learn and know and gain the strength that we need to stand against ungodly living and worldly lusts. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. We need to live soberly. That is the teaching of grace. We should live righteously. That is the teaching of grace. Hallelujah. We should live godly in this present world. We can't wait until we die to try to get it right. It's now. When I was growing up, the older generation or the old folks, praise God, they said, this is the dressing room. Hallelujah. We need to be preparing ourselves. Hallelujah. But how are we to prepare ourselves? We are to prepare ourselves by way of the teachings of grace. You know how, amen, the Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women certain things. Well, grace is here to teach us how to dress, how to put on what we need to put on, how to walk, how to live, hallelujah, how to conduct ourselves, hallelujah, so that we can be saved. We've got to be in a certain position, in a certain condition, in order for salvation to work in our lives. Praise God. We cannot be saved by doing anything of ourselves. However, we can be and are saved by taking advantage of the benefits of God's unmerited favor that we are talking about here, which is his grace. We can't save ourselves, but we can take advantage of the benefits, the teaching, praise God, the training, glory to God, the insights. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul in the scripture, where he was asking God to remove the thorn from his flesh. And the Bible says that God's response to him was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, what he was saying to Paul, hey, you're not seeing it like you need to see it. You're not seeing things from my perspective. Praise God. You want to be saved. You want to be rescued from this thing, this thorn. Hallelujah. But I need to teach you something in this situation. And so in God needing to teach Apostle Paul something in the midst of the test that he's dealing with this thorn in his flesh, grace is on the scene. God calls his grace. He says, "My grace is sufficient." All you need right now is grace. All we need right now is the grace of God. But the grace of God cannot operate in our lives unless we have a faith that saves us, a faith that gains access, a faith that allows this grace to operate in our life. Grace helps us experience the promotion of God's strength and power in our life. Because Paul said in this instance, Paul said, "Most gladly then, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities." Why? So that the power of God can rest upon me. The power of God. We need his power. We need his strength. Why? Because think about it. If you're in a fight of any kind, if you've got the strength to overcome your opponent, then you win. You're the victor. You got the victory. And this is what grace, by way of our faith, by way of what we believe, hallelujah, by way of the trust that we put in our God, hallelujah, this is what grace can do. Save us in the midst of every situation. Save us in the midst of all this ungodliness. Save us even in the midst of this outbreak of this coronavirus that's going on seemingly now everywhere. Praise God. But we have the power to stand by way of the grace of God because of our faith that we gain through the preaching that we receive, the word, the message. Glory to God. It all just comes together. Faith, the word, all of it comes together. But we need the faith first. We need faith that pleases God first. We need to accept the word first. Praise God. We need some preachers that's preaching the unadulterated word of God. Preachers that are not afraid to speak the truth. Does anybody, hallelujah, I say, does anybody want the truth? Hallelujah. Is anybody got the courage to preach the truth? Praise God. Apostle, we got a couple more minutes.
Just listen to you talking about Paul and the faith. A lot of times we don't have the faith that Paul had because we'll preach about Paul and we'll teach about him when God told him, "My grace is sufficient." But when we go to God and pray and when he begin to tell us about his grace is sufficient, we don't be trying to hear that. We don't be wanting to hear that. You know, that's what you told Paul. This is a different dispensation. This is a different era. This is a different time. hey, our faith level needs to come up with Paul, because like you said, he said in that next verse, I will most gladly. Amen. Mm-hmm. But when God begins to tell us certain things by his grace, God, we be like, wait, I need to come out of this. Now, I don't need to hear, but your grace is sufficient. That means our faith level needs to come up.
Amen. Praise God. So, amen. We need a faith that will save us. Amen. One more time, we want to encourage you to get on the prayer line Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings at 5 a.m. Prayer line info 480-297-0773. Access code 934-6389. Hashtag or pound. Praise God. Please leave your prayer requests on our webpage, www.truelifetestimony.com. God bless you, and remember
that today is another day of miracles. God bless
right
you.
Now, I believe your saturation.
I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power when pressure. Like a sponge to release your power when pressure comes.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Welcome, everyone. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are excited to be on the air with you today. I'm going to get some mics on here. Pastor Jim, while I start YouTube, gun, why don't you say something so I can get this going? Whoa, what is that? Not that. Okay. Wrong button. Okay.
Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Welcome everybody. This is.
Wonder why that's not. Wait a minute. They must have mixed up the mics. Just a minute. Let's try this. Try it. Speak again.
Am I on now? No.
Okay.
Am I on now?
Now you are.
I am.
Okay. There we go. You're number two there.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're so glad you could join us this afternoon. Pastor is getting us set up on YouTube, and that is YouTube/TanTalkRadio/live.
Live.
And that would be us. So you can see us live. You can see us live.
They can see you right now talking, PJ.
That's right. And you can also listen live on the actual radio, which is AM 1340. And FM 105.6.
106.1.
106.1.
You're close.
Oh, okay.
You're close. And who are those great people in there with you, Pastor Jim?
The people in here with me are Mike and Jen, our newlyweds.
Our newlyweds.
Wave.
Yes, we love them. We love them.
Yes,
we love
our
newlyweds.
So.
Yeah.
So happy to have them here today.
It's so great. Yes, it really is. And this is our weekly radio show we do live every Sunday. and have been now for almost 13 years. Mm-hmm. It'll be 13 years in April. Pastor Jim, it'll be the Sunday after Easter is when we celebrate our 13th anniversary for this show. That is really almost crazy hard to believe. You know what I mean?
That is crazy. And I'm kind of keeping track. We've got a few more to go till our 700th show is coming up, too.
Will that hit this year sometime?
Yes, I believe so.
Wow. So we are 600-plus shows.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, I have the distinction in there in the room of being one of the original Beacon of Hope members.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you do. Pretty cool, don't you think?
That, yes, ma'am.
Long time ago. Let me get your mic working properly. Kind of get closer to it, if you will.
How's that?
That's much better. Much better. That was a long time ago, 18 and a half years ago, to be exact. You didn't have as much gray hair. Neither did I.
No. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
And no, it doesn't. Time flies, yes, really. Yeah. And your beautiful wife here, Jen, is in the studio. We're excited. And perhaps some of your family members in Philippines, I don't know, are they sleeping right now? Is it middle of the night? So they're not awake to be able to. Okay. All right. But we are so glad to have Jen a part of our church family now. It's really exciting. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. So Pastor Jim is my associate pastor. And Pastor Jim, we've been working together how many years now? Because it's been a long time.
What? 11 and a half?
11 and a half, seriously?
11 and a half years. Well,
that is crazy.
September of 2008, so.
Okay. Well, you know what? Time flies fast when you're having all this fun,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
And so we're just glad to be here on the air with you, kind of reminiscing today, it seems like. But you know what? Every Sunday is a joy to us to be here and come across the airwaves around the globe, not just right here locally, but tantalknetwork.com goes globally. We do hear from people from other countries. If you are listening wherever you might be and like to contact us, you can contact me personally at pastor@bohmglobal.com. BOHMglobal.com stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim is Pastor Jim at BOHMglobal.com. We are in the middle of something very exciting. We are finally redoing our website, and I've been working on it a lot the last 2 or 3 weeks, and going to have something to show the church very soon. And it's going to be a brand new look. And we have had the same website for a long time. So if you happen to go to bohmglobal.com, just don't bother now.
I just say, no, just wait.
Just wait.
We'll have a big announcement.
Yeah, it'll be in 2 or 3 weeks. So we're excited. We're coming along very good with content and graphics and pictures and all of that. The more I work on it, Pastor Jim, the more excited I am about it, because it's going to really give a good feel of what we are all about at Beacon, mm-hmm. which is a family.
And I got to see part of it this morning, that part of the front page, and I really like that.
Yeah, that's, so far so good.
That's snappy.
It's called The Container. So the container is going to be good. So anyway, we're working on that with our webmaster and coming right along. So we will let you know in a few weeks when that's available to check out. And so we are here every Sunday afternoon, and that is an exciting thing. And we are all about teaching the Word of God in an atmosphere of practical Christian living. So that means that what the Scriptures say pertain to our everyday life. And so our goal always on this show is to bring in how this applies to me today, how it applies to you, Pastor Jim, how it applies to Jen and Mike. That's the goal, don't you think? That's what we're all about.
Well, yeah. I mean, what good is, I hope this comes out right, but what good is Scripture if you cannot apply it to your life? I mean, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to memorize it. It's another thing to put it into practice.
Absolutely. Not too easy to put it into practice, actually, is it?
No, that can be pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm. And why is that, do you think?
Well, sometimes we just don't like what Scripture tells us to do, quite honestly.
Right.
You know, nobody, you know, like be kind, those type of things, you know, be forgiving. There are just sometimes when in our flesh we don't want to do things like that.
Things that we have to work on.
Plus, it can be scary. If I start doing this, God might tell me to do something.
Right.
You know.
God might...
He'd send me to Africa.
Right. Want me to get more involved with his work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start the show today with a song that I think I played a couple weeks ago, but I really like this song. The group is I Am They. My feet are on the rock, because that's what it's all about. And the rock is Christ Jesus.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds. They try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. Solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Christ Jesus, that's what it's all about. Mike, talk to us about the rock, because I tell you, there's so many people who don't understand Jesus is the rock. He's our salvation, you know?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Without him, we don't stand.
We don't. Right.
And there's nothing better to stand on than a solid foundation, which
absolutely
is the rock.
Don't you think,
Jesus Christ.
Don't you think, Mike, a lot of people are looking for answers in their lives, and they really don't have that stabilizing force, a lot of people in their lives, and maybe they're not even aware that Jesus can be that, the Word can be that for them.
Yes, and without the foundation of Christ, to stand and have your faith in Him,
right,
not any other gods, it allows you to have more peace.
Amen.
And better relationships and family, friends.
Absolutely.
I wonder.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so wonderful that our Father God decided way before the foundation of the earth that he had put a plan in place, you know. Kind of reminds me of people who say, I got a plan for that, right? And here's the plan that God had for our sinful nature, which he knew in beforehand that we would need a Savior. And so before even the foundation of the earth, it was planned that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. And but our part is that we've got to understand that, believe that, and accept it. Right, Mike?
Right.
You know? And there's so many people around that don't. Pastor Jim, comment on that, will you? And we're going to get Jen here in a minute. So, but go ahead, PJ, as far as this need that we have for Jesus. 2,000 years ago, it was very demonstrated in the people. There was a need for a Savior.
Well, yeah, and even though a lot of them in Israel were not looking for a Savior as we might, you know, as we know that term now. They were looking for a political Savior, a conqueror to come in and throw off the yoke of the Romans.
Right.
And like Jesus does and is, well, John the Baptist said, you know, he's going to get to the root of things.
Yes.
And it's not.
Yeah.
The political oppression, as bad as it was, and it was terrible, that was not the root of the issue. The root of the issue was sin, and that's what Jesus came to deal with.
Yes.
We need a Savior because, as Paul wrote, we've all sinned.
Right.
We've fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And there's no way on our own we can ever, ever hope to clean ourselves up enough to be good enough for God.
Absolutely.
It's just impossible. So, you know, Jesus came and John the Baptist in John chapter 1 called Jesus the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
The sacrificial lamb, the one who would take away the sin of the world.
It's so cool that God the Father must have revealed to John the Baptist all of this, you know. And then, you know, in Matthew, we talked about it last week. In Matthew chapter 3, then Jesus comes and wants to be baptized by John the Baptist in water. As an outward sign to people. And John was having a hard time with that. Like, oh, I can't baptize you with water. Because John already had it revealed that this was the Messiah.
Right.
And Jesus.
And he knew that Jesus didn't need baptism.
Right.
But, praise God, he got it for a number of reasons. Because what happened at the baptism is the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, rested on Jesus. And that gives me great hope because I know if you read through the Gospels, Jesus did not do all these things because he was God. He did all the because he set those privileges aside.
Right.
Paul says that in Philippians chapter 2. He did all these things as a spirit-empowered man.
Yes.
And you know, some people would just call that out and out heresy, I suppose, but he did. And that's why John said, wait a minute, I need your baptism.
Right.
I need your baptism. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Let's look at that verse. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you in water because of repentance. And I'm in the Amplified Bible, and it says, repentance means changing your mind for a better, heartily amending your ways, with abhorrence to your past. And he says, John the Baptist says, he who is coming after me is mightier than I. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Messiah, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. And it's so cool that John the Baptist understood that this was the Messiah. And then, of course, you look up here shortly, and Jesus comes walking down into the water and wants to be baptized, water baptized. But when he does, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon him. Do you want to comment on that, PJ?
Well, sure. And then John hears a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I think it's Mark or Luke says, listen to him.
Exactly.
This is my beloved Son. And what's really cool, you know me, there's all three members of the Trinity involved in that. Mm-hmm. We got Jesus, we got the Father, we got the Holy Spirit.
And I'm going to take us back to Isaiah 42, verse 1, because this was prophesied 700 or 800 years before this event in the book of Isaiah through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 42, 1 says this, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights. This is a prophecy that Jesus was coming. I have put my spirit upon him. So that was a prophecy 700 or 800 years before this day at the Jordan River. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice and right and reveal truth to the nations. And it goes on to talk about him. And he will not cry or shout aloud or cause his voice to be heard in the street. And it goes on. It's a prophecy of what was about to happen. But the about to happen was 700 or 800 years later. But this fulfilled prophecy.
And I love the verses 3 and 4.
Go ahead.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. I really love verse, well, I love both, but verse 3. Because some people have this idea that, you know, when you're down, Jesus is just going to smack you upside the head.
Right.
And right here, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
A bruised reed, you know, like talking about a reed.
Yeah.
That's bruised and bent. He's not going to break it.
Right.
And a faintly burning wick, you know, a candle that's about to go out. He's not going to blow it out.
It's like us, right?
Right. Yeah, we tend to do that.
I mean, we tend to be kind of battered and bruised and like a bruised reed, but Jesus does not, God does not send Jesus to this earth to condemn the world. That's John 3:17. But to save the world, you know, for God so loved the world, that's verse 16, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is a prophecy about that coming, that Jesus would have the character to be able to not beat us up and tell us how terrible we are, but instead to bring justice and be the salvation for our souls. Mike, you want to comment on that? I just love that about Jesus. This was prophesied 700 or 800 years before it happened.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, he came to save us from our sins, not to condemn us from this world.
That's right.
That others may see us. They may condemn us.
Right.
But he sees through our fault.
Mm-hmm. So
to forgive us our sin.
What a wonderful characteristic of our Lord, right?
Amen.
Jen, anytime you want to jump in, just give me a little high sign, okay, there? All right. So I love, and all the way through the book of Matthew, for those of you out there in Radio Land, we are reading the book of Matthew now prior to the Resurrection Sunday, April 12th. We're going to be in the book of Matthew the whole time because there's so much here, and we want to see what Jesus talked about. We want to see the themes that he talked about consistently. We want to see his love for the people. We want to see what he was doing when he walked this earth. Matthew's one of the greatest books to do that because all the way through, Matthew says, Jesus said this in order that scripture be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Do you want to comment on that, Jim? Because I think that's one of the huge things in the book of Matthew. You don't see that phrase in the other gospels.
Right. You see it occasionally.
Occasionally, but not consistently.
But Matthew uses it from beginning to end.
Yes.
And some scholars feel that Matthew was either the earliest or one of the earliest gospels written, and it was written specifically to the Jews.
Right.
You know, to show that Jesus was the Messiah.
Exactly.
So, of course, you know, he's going to point out fulfilled prophecies all the way through, which is what he did. It's great for that. I mean, from beginning to end, from the birth to the crucifixion and resurrection, Matthew just keeps saying, so that it would be fulfilled, as it is written, so what the prophet said would come to pass, things like that, all the way through.
Absolutely. And that is so important because of what it does for us and teaches us that what God the Father had in planned, and he said to the prophets, hey, I'm going to do this, and then it happens. You know, it's that thing that we've said many times. God tells us he's going to do it. Then he does it. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back and he says, I told you so. I told you I was going to do it. And that's how God operates. And I love that whole concept here in the book of Matthew. Continually, he goes back and refers to scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, we see what Jesus was doing. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, he calls the disciples. We talked about that last week, if you listened to the show, And then in verse 23, he goes about all of Galilee. He's teaching in their synagogues. He's preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And what else was he doing, guys? It says here he was healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. That is Matthew 4:23. Why was he doing this? This series is called Where Healing Happens, which is across the front of our building. Where healing happens, happens with the relationship with Jesus. That's where healing happens, right? And this is what Jesus was doing. So how significant is that, Pastor Jim, when we talk about, we see early on in Matthew, Jesus is very concerned about healing people.
Right.
Why?
Well, in the context of this verse, and I have a little note in the Bible that I brought, it's full evangelism.
Okay.
Because not only did he preach, he backed up what he preached.
Okay.
With signs following. And, you know, he went out through all Galilee teaching in the synagogue, so there was teaching, right, some teaching going on, proclaiming or preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease. I mean, those were benchmarks of what the Messiah would do.
Why is that so important? Why did the Messiah have to heal people? Why not just say, "I'm sorry, you're sick. I'll send you a card." I mean, you know, why was it so important?
I came to seek and save the lost.
Yes.
And that word for save,
yes,
in Greek, if you'll give me a moment here.
Please go with it.
Is the word sozo, which doesn't mean just salvation from sin. It means salvation, healing, life, abundance. I mean, it's got all these other meanings to it. Wholeness.
Right.
I know in Matthew, he says, you know, to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has literally saved you, but most translations say made you whole,
made
healed
you, whole.
You.
Right.
Because that's all wrapped up in that same word.
Why is it so important that we serve a God, a risen Savior, who not only came to save us from our sin, but came to heal our bodies? Who wants to jump in on that? Because, I mean, that's so important. Why?
Well, it also gives you hope.
It does, doesn't it?
The world that we live in doesn't give you much hope.
That's exactly right. And if, you know, down through the ages, civilizations have always tried to create a God, right? They've created a wood god, a stone god. They've created or worshipped the moon or whatever. And they were looking for something. The Greeks had these gods that flew around. One got too close to the sun and his wings, whatever his name was. Right? I mean, so we as human beings want there to be a power greater than us.
In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, God has put eternity in our hearts.
Ooh, I like that.
So we are always going to be looking for something. We are made to worship.
Yes.
That's just how we were created.
Right.
We're made to worship.
Exactly.
If we don't worship the true God, then there'll be something else out there to worship, whether it's
money, cars,
status.
Houses.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we're made to worship. Don't you think?
Well, originally,
our whole creation, the whole purpose of a creation.
Right,
exactly. And God created us, ideally, of course, to worship Him, but not to be forced into it. You know, He gave us free will, okay. Which, you know, how would that work out for you? You know, you just want to, that's one of the questions I want to ask God.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that this was all going to happen, why did you give us free will? Because who wants to be loved by a robot?
That's right.
Who wants to be adored or worshiped by a robot?
Or forced.
Yeah, He could force us to worship Him. And
how genuine would that be?
Yeah, and it wouldn't be. He wants genuine honor, respect,
exactly.
Worship. And the only way to do that after Adam and Eve fell was to bring the Messiah and put us back, because at that point we lost our relationship with Him, we lost our ability to worship Him, and that's why, it, you know, the Messiah had to come to get us back into a relationship
track.
With God. You know, God set up the whole sacrificial system. And yeah, that was worship, but
true,
it didn't go
genuine.
Far enough.
True and genuine.
Right.
Love and the desire to honestly have that relationship with him, not as just a God.
Right.
As a personal relationship.
Right. And that's why I said the law, the sacrifices under the law didn't go far enough.
Right.
You know, they met the need. They met the need
right.
to cover your sins. But they just didn't, you still couldn't have a personal relationship with God.
As you guys were talking about that, it reminded me of the first song that you sang, Jen, a few weeks ago with your guitar at church. And I just turned to this. It's Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer or hart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? What? Talk to us about the significance of that. When you sang that song with your guitar just a few weeks ago in our Sunday morning service, what does that say to you, and how does that apply here about people needing? We're thirsty. We're hungry people.
Right.
We're thirsty. Go ahead.
Well, honestly, I picked that song because I feel that I'm one of the deer of the God that he's longing for.
Yes.
That he reaches me out.
Yes.
And he know that he know my heart and my whole soul.
Right. He does. And so when you were singing those words, are you saying that you meant those words?
Right.
I know you are. Because I felt it that day as you were playing and singing, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God.
Right.
Right? And how do you know that your heart is yearning for God? How do you know that? How does anybody know that? Jen, just take a shot at that.
Well, honestly, I've been through a lot of hindrances or hurdles
sure.
in my life.
But sure.
I keep my trust, my faith in God.
Amen.
Because I know that, in the book of Matthew, it says there that in every problems you have, just do what is right, and
right.
He'll do the rest.
Right. Right.
Even though it's hard to do what is right.
Yeah.
You know that there is a savior or there is a helper, which is the God.
Amen.
Integrity.
Yes. Doing the right thing, be full of integrity.
When you don't know when someone's looking,
and
do the right
you
thing.
Do it anyway, right? And the psalmist is saying here, I can't believe this, but he's saying, my soul, my heart pants for God,
right.
longs for God. And I think for those of our listeners out there today, as we study the book of Matthew, you're going to see that Matthew is saying, hey, you know what? One of the famous verses in Matthew is found in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added to you.
Right.
That's the concept I think you were just talking about, mm-hmm. Jen, is that, you know, when you want God, everything else falls in line.
Right.
You know? Listen to this song, Mighty to Save, because that's Jesus. That's who he is.
Never failing, but let mercy fall on me. Where everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Mighty to save.
whole world see, for the glory of God. That's what it's all about. Woo! Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, one more time. This is what Jesus did. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. Verse 24, so the report of him spread out everywhere. And they brought all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and torments, those under the power of demons, epileptics, paralyzed people, and he healed them. It does not say he lined them up and said, okay, you guys over here, that's too tough for me. I can't do that. Just the easy ones right here. Those are the common cold. Here, stand right here. You know, he didn't do that. It didn't matter how severe it was. He healed them all. And great crowds came and accompanied him. And in verse chapter 5 of Matthew is where we're going to go right now. Seeing the crowds, he decided they needed some teaching. Pastor Jim, we love teaching, don't we?
You know I do.
I do too. Yeah. I love it. Why?
Well, for me personally, I love to be able to communicate God's word. And Jesus knew that. And it's the same today. You can't survive just on miracles. You know, you come to church, you can see people get healed, delivered, whatever. But you can't build a Christian life on that. You can't build your faith on that.
Right.
You know?
You got to learn how to behave.
Right, basically. Yeah. And, you know, if you teach people so that they know.
Right.
What, so they can get the life of God in them.
Exactly.
When Jesus was doing miracles, the life of God in him was doing that.
Right.
You teach people so they get the life of God in them so they can go out and do the same thing.
Right. So we're going to start with the Sermon on the Mount right here in Matthew 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up, sat down on a little grassy area, and he began to teach. And he opened his mouth and he said this in Matthew 5:3, if you want to follow along. These are called the Beatitudes. In other words, what are the attitudes? What should your attitudes be? I really think that's what it's all about, isn't it, PJ? Beatitudes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the word itself means blessing.
Blessing.
Yeah.
And so he starts talking about these blessings. And he first says in chapter 5, verse 3, and we talked about this morning at Beacon of Hope, you're blessed when you're poor in spirit. And I think a lot of people have translated that to mean in their own heads, oh, if I'm poor, I'm blessed.
Yeah, well, that ain't right.
That's not right.
No, poor in, doesn't say poor in money. It says poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who have an accurate picture of their need for God.
I love that. Oh, that's great. Right. That'll preach. An accurate picture of their need for God. Jen, right. Why is that important, that we have a picture of how we really need God?
Well, every day of our life, we should be eager to have God in ourselves.
Exactly.
It's like our food.
Yes.
Like God gives us like an energy. Mm-hmm. So we're poor of him. So
right.
We're like being needing a lot of God.
Amen. And you're seeing it very well. And by the way, y'all, this Mike's wife is recently joined him here from the Philippines. And I think you're doing a great job with your English. And don't be in any way intimidated, because we get what you're saying. Right. But you're right. We have this need on the inside of us for God. You know, and if we are poor in spirit, it means that we are humble, that we realize, I need God, Mike. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, there's so many illustrations in the Bible of the people back then that walked when Jesus was here on earth.
Right.
And with our everyday life here.
Yes.
The problems that we're going to have when we lean on God and we need him just in our everyday walk.
Right.
Not when we... You know, someone passes away or a tragic problem, but just our everyday walk, just to be able to
yes.
stay focused and concentrate in life and do good and help others. We need Christ.
We need him. And so when we are humble and teachable, then we can see God moving in our situations, and we learn things about his character. You know, how good he is, how much he loves us. Pastor Jim, what would you like to say about being poor in spirit?
A lot of...
Not poor in your bank account.
Right. Praise God. But a lot of people have... They don't see their need for God.
Right.
I can do it myself.
Exactly.
I'm a self-made man, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And yet, to be poor in spirit means I know where I stand without God in his sight. Does that make sense? I mean...
In other words, to recognize your need.
Right. I know I need him. I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be in relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven. There we go again.
You don't get into the kingdom by being arrogant
or self-centered to the extent that I really don't need God. I'm just fine the way I am. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
If you go through life thinking, you know, I got this. You know, I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need Christians. I don't need anything like this in my life. I don't need to be taught. And Jesus says right here, he sits down and says, hey, you thousands and thousands of people, listen up. You need to be taught. You know? Go ahead, PJ.
Well, that's very true. And unless we know that we need him, we're probably not going to find him. And that's scary. I mean, Paul said, how will they... No, unless somebody preaches to
them. Right, exactly.
Jesus was saying, blessed are you who know your spiritual state accurately.
Which I go back to Jen's song, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul longs for God. Could you do that again next week? No, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to be in Texas. But could you do it a couple weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Because I love the way you did that song, and it just gripped me that first time. And because that's the essence of these Beatitudes, recognizing you have a need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? Go ahead with that. Go ahead, Jim. Did you finish that concept?
Well, yeah. I said when I was reading through these, the Beatitudes themselves, I realized... Through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus amplifies on every one of these.
Yes, he does.
He does. I mean, that's what's so cool. It kind of starts off with, kind of like you, everything in kind of a little capsule form. This is where we're going to be going, these 9 or 10 points here. And then through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he just expounds on these.
He expounds on it. He grows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so the first one really is poor in spirit or being humble, recognizing that we need God and also that we need to give up our selfish tendencies. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Mike? I mean, so many of us are just so about ourselves, right? How does this affect me? How does that affect me? Or what so and so, how did she look at me? Or how did she not look at me? Or why didn't she hug me? Or right? It's all about us.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's our personality. Well, not personality, but
that's our nature.
Our nature.
Yeah, it is. Don't you think?
To be.
Yeah.
That's mine. I want this. This is the way I want it. I want to do this. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we accept the fact that we need God and we are teachable, then in the Message Bible, I mentioned this morning. I love that it says... it says here in the Message Bible, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. With less of you, when you're at the end of your rope, that means you can't fix whatever the problem is. You want to comment on that, Jen?
Well, some of the people were just calling God when they need help.
Exactly.
Well, which is really... I wouldn't say not right, but as a Christian, we should recognize him from our daily lives, even if we're blessed or we're on the suffering.
Right.
Because we don't know if that's hindrances God gave you that hindrances or problem to make you strong, to build your faith with
him. He allowed it, yeah. And so when we recognize we have to have him, Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that? We're fixers.
We are. Well, we want it. Well, why does one get into social work?
Oh, you're a social worker. That's right.
That's right. So, of course, yeah, we do that because we want to fix, and we can't. You know, it's... We can't because we don't have the power to do it. We can't step in and fix everything. Mm-hmm. It's beyond us to do that. And part of this being poor in spirit is seeing what is beyond us, realizing what we can't do, and turning it over to God.
But so, go ahead.
Let me say something.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
If you're teaching someone, like you're saying, Christ is our teacher, mm-hmm. he'll give us the education, he'll put someone in our life that has the education to tell us and teach us the direction we need to go or the answers we may have or need for a problem. If you're a social worker, you're not going to fix it, like you said, but you can give them the answers and say, hey, you can look at it this way or
right.
maybe try this.
But then it's up to us whether or not we accept that help.
Right. The golden rule of social work. I'm not going to work harder at your issues than you do.
Ooh. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because we burn out that way.
And if we can't fix it ourselves, we have to rely on God.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing.
You're right, though. We give people the tools.
Right.
That's kind of like what we do in Bible study. We give people the tools.
Right.
What you do with those.
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
So let's go back to what the Message Bible translates that as, poor in spirit. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God.
That's right.
And his rule. So when you're at the end of your rope, you're going, help, help. It's a little like a little kid who realizes they can't reach that thing they want up there on the, you know, on the kitchen counter. Help, help, you know.
I think it brings you back into focus with Christ and you want to tend to worship him.
Yes.
Pray to him, talk with him, read more of the word, get more of the word in you.
And like what Jen said, it shouldn't. Chances are, I mean, yeah, most of us start our spiritual life being at the end of our rope. Mm-hmm. Something has happened to bring mm-hmm. us to God.
Right.
But like Jen said, it shouldn't just, we should not just pull God out of the box in emergencies.
Right.
It needs to be an everyday sort of thing. You know, that's having a relationship with God. Then we don't. Chances are, if that happens, we won't get to the end of our rope so many times.
How many times have you ever known people that they don't want you as a friend unless they're really hurting and they got to have somebody to talk to? Lord,
also,
I need you.
Doesn't that bring us back to our nature?
Yes.
That we can do it on our own.
We can
fix it. We don't
right.
need God or we don't need this.
Mm-hmm. That's
until we're at the end of our rope and we don't know what to do.
Right.
Well, I better call on God.
That's why I'm going to play this song, Lord, I Need You. I love this song. It says it all.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, we need you. Amen. Wow. PJ. Wow.
Amen.